flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adatula, Figgy Fig, and I'm sorry, I've gotten stuck in the numbers weeds right now. We will get to like what your belief level is in the various Houston general managers, because they're all doing some level of, you know, personnel management. I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 kind of proposition for those gentlemen, anyways. But they're all kind of these interesting places. Obviously, Nick Caserio is into the offseason, has some real work cut out for him, especially offensive line. But obviously, we're in that draft season. In fact, we were talking about how this week they're out in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
At the, almost said Shrine Bowl, but it's a Senior Bowl that's in Mobile. You know, looking at various young dudes that have an opportunity to come into the league and make impacts. Obviously, you talk about baseball. Dana Brown is knee deep in what, or maybe not knee deep, depending on the way that you view things, in the potential negotiations to possibly bring back free agent Alex Bregman, or, you know, figure out what you're going to do. Like, is your bullpen complete? Is your outfield look right? Like, are they going to bring in another infielder? All those things. It's still a funny question to me. I still don't fully understand the Jorge Polanco thing, but I get if, you know, Spillane was talking to us yesterday, the idea of like, you know, buying low on him because it was a down season in Seattle. But then you also look at the Rockets, and they're actually in a place where it's the absence of moving that is speaks to the general manager and Rafael Stone not wanting to make that move, even though there's a constant parade of possibilities out there for, ooh, would you like to trade for this? Wouldn't you trade for this guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, De'Aaron Fox being represented as the most recent one, Houston kid. So what is your belief level in the general managers here? Like, how, and maybe how do you even power rank them if we want to get that spicy with it?
Yeah, we do have to kind of go down that road a little bit because, you know, when you look at all three of these general managers, to me, like, they all are very fortunate that they got associated with certain people. Now, let me explain that.
Okay.
Dana Brown clearly, you know, came in and it was pretty much set. In terms of the core players, you know, Jim Crane making the big decisions. He inherited the pitching staff.
Yeah.
He didn't necessarily have to have autonomy. Maybe he wanted it, but it was collaborative. You can think what
you
want.
He came in after a World Series.
After a World Series, all that. So how much of like what the Astros are and are still trying to hold on to is Dana Brown? I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, that's not to downplay his importance because clearly he's made some moves that have been big. And I think this Bregman thing might turn some people on him just because of sentimentality, you know?
Yeah, but I wonder...
But it might be the smart move.
How much do you attribute to him the Bregman thing?
Because it might like still be Crane.
The conversation is about the money and the lengths that they're willing to go contractually, and that feels like that is parameters. Not feels like, it's... It seems very evident that is parameters that have been placed on him, Dana Brown himself, by Jim Crane, the owner of the team.
Exactly. And now let's go to the Rockets. I mean, Rafael Stone was not doing very well and was getting widely panned, widely criticized for the job he was doing, including on this show for a number of reasons. Did he hire Ime Udoka, or did he just get lucky that that's the guy that
came open because he...
Yeah.
he was messing around in office.
Yeah. Yeah, and
yeah, but
and,
sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
But also, that was a Tillman and Patrick Fertitta production. There's no question about that.
I didn't realize that this was going to go to this negative of a place.
No, I'm just saying, I think I'm trying to lay out how difficult it is to say, you know, to answer your question.
Certainly.
About general managers here. Like, you know, we all have our opinions on who, you know, what is your belief in these general managers?
Sure.
I mean, I believe Dana Brown is okay. I believe Rafael Stone is lucky because he's got one of the best, you know, coaches in the NBA, and Tillman and Patrick Fertitta probably did the most of the legwork on that, which leads us to Nick Caserio in terms of hands-on impact, making decisions, most decisions. He probably has done the most. So I would say, as much as there's been some bad moves that we can all talk about or questionable, with Nick Caserio, he might be the guy that you probably have the most belief in.
So for you, have this as a Caserio 1.
Probably Rafael Stone 2, just because he did do some things, even though I didn't necessarily agree with him, and some of them backfired.
What are the things we're talking about backfire? Because as of right now, and maybe this is just the benefit of hindsight, looking at the situation is, you know, you've drafted good young players. You have... Also, I think we cannot ignore the position of power that they stand in, not just with having a whole bunch of young, talented players, but then also having a strong stockpile of assets.
Namely, Steven Silas.
Fair enough.
Namely, Steven Silas.
That hiring in particular.
That was awful. I mean, that was awful. And it's kind of hard to get over that, you know, and that was his. But at least as far as we know, and then probably Dana Brown. And again, they're all fortunate. They're all going to be in the hunt, if not, you know, certainly already in the hunt. But I think if I had to say, like, that you believe in that actually, you know, makes big decisions, has done some good things. Now you can't ignore those three big fellas up front that are getting paid a lot of money courtesy of Nick Caserio.
Right. And
you know,
they've all he's had a decision on all of them. He inherited from them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, the re-signing of a couple of them. And then, of course, the actual draft of Kenyon Green, who looks very clearly.
Yeah.
He looks very bus-like.
That one, too.
Like, he looked very bus-like. Even if I don't want to go all the way to be committal in that way. Yeah. He looked he looked like a bus. Yeah. I might not say that he is one in particular, but
he's trending.
I've seen some pictures.
Yeah.
And there are some familiar features in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, they're particularly.
And that's not a little thing.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you mean it's not a little thing? We literally just saw how that can blow up a season for you.
Yeah. But the money that he spent as well, and a little bit maybe hasty on some of these, giving up that money. So none of them are without their flaws and clear faults.
Yeah.
But if you believe, let me ask you guys, like you believe in this guy, you know, more than the others.
Honestly, this might shock y'all. I might be leaning a little more towards Stone as number one over Nick Caserio, just by a little bit, because I agree with you. I do think he got a little lucky because he got the right coach in and players started playing together and playing right. But he did draft, like, all the people we draft are panning out right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that with Nick Caserio because obviously Kenyon Green, and I feel like Nick Caserio got a little lucky too, man.
Yeah, right.
Just having the Deshaun Watson who ain't want to be here. He got those first round draft picks and he was able to do a lot of stuff.
But that was all him. He held strong.
Yeah, no,
it's going to take three first rounders, or we're not talking.
No, I agree with that. No, I think that was good by him, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think right now, just the Rockets are rolling right now, and all of their draft picks are actually playing really good.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about draft picks playing pretty good, we still have to come back and give Caserio his props. Like, now, of course, the Kenyon Green one as a first rounder, not your first rounder that year, but hey, your first rounder that year is a, as I have now deemed him, probably definitely erroneously, but I'm going to do it anyways, three-time Pro Bowler.
All pro.
Yeah, let me make sure I have it right. And Derek Stingley, right? That was a number one. That was a first round pick. Jalen Petrie has panned out, even in the face of maybe looking around and being like, I don't know. Like, that one's come around. in year, what, three there. Christian Harris, injuries there, but I think we are all sold on who he is as a player. Like, that is just the 2022 draft. Talk less of, you got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. Like, having the conviction, the fortitude to make that particular move. Mm-hmm. And those guys are both really obviously very good, but having the conviction to go on like, no, we're going to make that move. They were widely panned for. Like, yeah. Hey, man, you guys aren't going to actually be good. Why would you, trade your future first? Come around, it's like, oh, no, this was very obvious. And even without that future first in the 2024, right? Mm-hmm. You get Kamari Lassiter, who, I mean, if he wasn't a first rounder, but he might as well have been the way that he played this year. Then you add a Blake Fisher who played for you and looks like he has the possibility of holding down that spot for you. At least the possibility is worthwhile there as a second rounder. Bullock as a third rounder. Mm-hmm. Even Cade Stover, I think people are still happy about and still like. And I think if you're hitting in those early rounds, those day one and day two picks, I'm in a pretty good place. And I think really the reason why I asked this question, right, all the way around is just as you head into this season, Nick's got a lot of work to do. Like, and some of it is, of course, of his own doing when we talk about that offensive line. But he's got a lot of work to do there. Mm-hmm. There's still some depth issues with cornerback. Like, there's still some things that there needs to work on. And so ultimately what I kind of wanted to drill down and get to in some ways, you obviously have all these general managers in this place, but particularly you're hitting the hot season for Nick Caserio here, and there's some things that you need to do, and it's really going to be important to nail them for this team to reach the next level, because there's no longer are you in this place where it's like, oh, it's cool and you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, everybody's sort of optimistic.
Yeah, now's the time.
There's more pressure on them with Nick Caserio on getting it right now versus like maybe the Rockets, who we didn't know they was going to be the second best team in the West this early like this. And by the way, they got all these draft picks that –
That's where Raphael Stone. Like, if you're going to argue, Stone, that's where I could say, yeah, it's a great point. And, because not only the draft picks, but hoarding not only the draft picks he made, but getting these other picks. And by the way, he deserves credit for standing pat so far.
He stands in a position of power, and he was right. Yeah. And how much of that do you just go, Ime Udoka is doing a fantastic job? But again, that's a part of the thing, right? Luck is a part of this as well. Mm-hmm. And putting yourself in a position to be fortunate and lucky, I think that he's done a good job there. I want to circle back around to Dana Brown, because I found this to be interesting. This is John Heyman talking about the latest with Bregman. Yeah, man, we're going on the roller coaster again, where we've talked about it, I think, earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. We found out that Dana Brown apparently has not even had, like, continuous conversations with the Boris situation. That was just kind of out there. Yeah. This is the latest that John Heyman has on the Bregman situation.
If you had to choose one team that will eventually get Bregman, what team would that be? I mean, if we sit here today, maybe I would say Houston. We know kind of where they at least have a starting point at 6-156. I'm going to say them, but I there is an alert to the Cubs. We just saw his great friend Ryan Presley leave the Astros to go to the Cubs. There are two Astros now on the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs are an interesting team. They're a fun team. You've got Tucker now in right field. You've got Presley now as the closer. That may be an extra alert for Bregman. I know that he and Presley were close. Maybe the Cubs could come in there. So I'm going to say one of those two teams. I think I tweeted that a week ago, that Houston and the Cubs were certainly big players in on Bregman. But I don't know that we're close at this moment. One of these other teams is going to have to step up. And if they step up and go to that sixth year or seventh year, the Cubs, Red Sox, they might be able to nab them, because we all know where the Astros are, and that wasn't good enough. But if I had to pick one team today and just guess – I might guess the Astros.
It's wild, man.
Is he going to win this negotiation just by waiting it out?
Well, that's their hope. But it is, I just can't get over, Dana Brown saying on the record to reporters, yeah, I owe him a call, don't I?
Yeah, how have you felt? Because that's another part of this.
I think.
Right, the general MO that these dudes have. And Dana has had a interesting one in which he's kind of forthcoming, but also very much not forthcoming in different ways. Like, how has that struck you when it comes to his tenure as general manager?
Just curious. All these reports, all this talk, whatever you want to call it, about, oh, yeah, the Astros are back in. And he said, yeah, I got a text message from him a while back. I guess I need to call him. That just doesn't sound like a team that is aggressively trying to keep Alex Bregman. Or maybe they're just saying, maybe that's the game they're playing.
Yeah.
Like, we gave you our offer.
I'm chilling.
We told you
we not stressed over here.
Yeah.
You stressed over there.
I guess I'll call back and see what they want.
Hey,
look, ain't nothing changing.
If you trying to hang out, you got to hit me up. I'm over here at the house. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Hey, exactly. you know my number. You know where I stay too.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad. That'd be kind of a, you know. I was going to say brilliant, but it'd be a smart move, I think, just to kind of say, like, we're not moving. You know, if Raymond wants to be here, we're going to be here. So maybe he is doing that. I don't know. But, yeah, I think you can argue Stone or Caserio first, and I wouldn't say you're crazy either way. But Dana Brown seems to kind of be pulling up the
And I'm still kind of giving Dana Brown a lot of credit too, because we was criticizing him at that trade deadline. We was just like, what is you doing? Like, and that came out to be a good acquisition. Yeah,
I got you.
Although in retrospect, you had him for a few months and they gave up two.
Yeah.
They two prospects. Yeah.
So you can look at that several different ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So it feels like we as a show have gotten to a place where, even while trying to give Dana Brown his props, and I think he's still also very early in this, in his tenure of being that gentleman manager.
Yeah. And the situation was a little different too.
For sure. A lot different. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in this place where I think we have him third.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's interesting because Rafael,
you didn't give me your list.
That's why I'm trying to sort it out on the fly here, because I really do. I have a lot of respect for what Rafael Stone is doing. And yes, he started in a place where it felt like it was bad, but I feel like that was also the situation that was handed to him in some ways, a place where there was not a lot to work with. They'd kind of been ravaged in some ways by, you know, the James Harden situation and all of that. And he has built this thing up to where not only do they have a good young team, but also they have a good young team with a strong position of power with all these assets. Mm-hmm. They feel a lot like Sam Presti's Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a general manager who is getting a lot of plaudits. So I want to do a similar thing for Rafael Stone. So I almost want to put him first and Nick Caserio second, while also acknowledging that Nick Caserio is doing a good job. I feel like, all right, let me ask you this question. Is it unfair what I think my brain inherently does, where I look at all these drafts and I'm like, yeah, how hard is it to go to Georgia, to go to Ohio State, to go to Alabama, to go to Notre Dame and be like, I'm picking that guy?
Yeah, that's fair to a degree, but somebody passed on him.
Yeah.
You know, somebody passed on him.
And see, when I look at Nick Caserio, all the good things he's done, I still look at some of the questionable decisions he made.
It comes down to Kenyon Green and paying Tytus Howard and all these guys up front.
Not only that, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would do this trade again. Don't get me wrong, but Stephon Diggs, he gave up a first round pick for Stephon Diggs, and you could have had Brian Thomas Jr.
All right, Ocho. Thank you for your input.
Like, I mean, I don't know how that's gonna go. I mean, I'm still cool with the move, but. He did do a lot of questionable moves where you just like, John Metchie. So it's a lot of stuff you could pick at Nick Caserio. I feel like it's not. I think we still waiting to see him for Rafael Stone.
Right. And I also want to also be careful about all this, because with being a general manager, and especially when we talk about draft picks, it is still a crapshoot just inherently.
Nobody bats a thousand.
Yeah.
Nobody bats a thousand, and you've hit pretty well. I think ultimately one of the things that we could take away from all of this is that these teams have all been in a very good spot when it comes to, you know, management, for at least in this stretch, which is very beneficial. And they all have their varying challenges ahead of them. I think Rafael Stone probably the best situated all the way around, because he feels like he has the least issues, and some of that is the way that they've set themselves up. He is at this point where it's just like, know when to wait and when to pull the trigger.
That's his strength right now. That's been it.
I think the best way to judge him is probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, when you come into the season, like, all right, we got to the second round or the third round or whatever. So, you know, championship time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's when you kind of really put a judge on and see what he do.
Yeah, did you pull the trigger at the right time there? But, yeah, man, all the general managers are in a really interesting place. And for Nick Caserio, this is the time period. This is the time period when it comes to draft season. We're like 3 months out, funny enough, of the draft still.
It's happening.
It feels like it's close, but also it's kind of far. But then also free agency is coming up soon, and then making those decisions on which of those guys, because I don't know that you can do the free agency spend in the same way that you did in this past offseason. All of that really lies ahead with your Texans and with your various Houston teams. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time to do our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.